Good morning, friends of the White Way. I trust all is well with you, embraced in the warm, compassionate light of Amida Buddha. I'm very happy to be able to share this moment with you, hopefully in a congenial fashion. I remember Reverend Gyome Kubose of the Chicago Buddhist Church saying he didn't like the word sermonize, and I would try to avoid its usage. Since I'm of the same feeling, I suggest that we have a discussion today instead of my sermonizing. I'll be doing a lot of talking, though. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, followed by President's Day. A few weeks ago, it was Martin Luther King's Day. A few days ago, we all said Kung Yifat Choi to celebrate the lunar calendar, or more popularly known as Chinese New Year. January 1 was New Year according to the Gregorian calendar. Prior to that was Christmas and Hanukkah and Veterans Day and Thanksgiving and so on and so on. You may be wondering why I mention holidays today. Well, I was wondering whether we can really justify the establishment of some of these holidays. Are we grateful enough? In some cases, we become jaded and forget the purpose of setting aside a particular day. We are perhaps not grateful enough. At the beginning, we were. At the beginning of the establishment of a holiday, we appreciated the significance, but soon that significance is forgotten. An important day to commemorate the life of an important person becomes just another day to look for bargains at our favorite store. Let me take a detour at this point to add what I promised some time ago. I've promised myself that every chance I have, I will repeat the short poem former Bishop Ohara left for us. It was about 50 years ago that Bishop Ohara visited our home in Manoa, and looking across the valley, he wrote, Hima no toki ni wa ware wa yama o miru, isogashii toki ni wa yama ga ware o miru. I translated that freely in order to bring out the basic intent of the poem, which is, although I look at the mountain only when I have time, that mountain is always looking at me, even when I am busy. I'd like to think that that is my relationship with the Buddha. In the poem, the mountain refers to the Buddha, but in my thought, the mountain can mean any loved one. In fact, it can mean anyone. For example, it can mean, even if I'm not thinking of Mother, I know she is always thinking of me. Or you might think of a sweetheart who is always thinking of you. Are we not always the recipient? What is the result of the realization of the Buddha with you, that feeling that the Buddha is always with you, or your loved one is always with you? Speaking of gratitude, I remember as a child hearing the old ladies of the temple constantly expressing their gratitude shamelessly, without hesitation, saying loudly, Arigatai, arigatai. I didn't know then what they were thankful for, but now I think I know somewhat. They were simply expressing their gratitude for being embraced by the Buddha and not forsaken. This is one discovery. There was another one, which I will mention later. A few years ago, I remember meeting a female member on the island of Kauai who was celebrating her 60th birthday. That meeting has stuck in my mind because she was unusually exuberant about adding another year to her age. I had asked her whether there was a special reason for her happiness, and she told me very frankly that, of course, she looked forward to the coming of another year. But she also said each year added more to her wisdom from the experiences she will gain every year. And I was taken aback because most ladies I had known detested the event of adding another year to their lives. I remember that incident because there was a good reason for aging. As we age, we gain more wisdom, I concluded. Now, in recalling the old ladies in Pauela saying arigatai, arigatai, I surmised that they had lived full lives and not so good life as well. And they were grateful, not only because they were convinced that they were in the Buddha's embrace, but also for the many friends who looked after them and they associated with, and also the myriad mundane blessings they had received throughout their lives, including the weather and all of these wonderful things surrounding us. The other day I had occasion to look at the American Declaration of Independence, which said, as human rights, we were all entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I read somewhere that man's purpose to seek happiness was to seek happiness, and wondered what happiness was for Buddhists. The human ideal in Buddhism is the bodhisattva, the being on his way or her way to Buddhahood. The bodhisattva practices six perfections or paramitas. They are dana, selfless giving, morality, patience, energy, meditation, and wisdom. Of these six, we are most familiar with the first perfection, which is dana, to express the spirit with which the volunteers go out to help the frail and elderly members of our community who need help in menial things like housework and rides. For example, it was the late Ruth Tabra who suggested the name Project Dana as an example of what the volunteers do. Today, it was Cindy Osajima of Project Dana who provided the transportation for me, the speaker of the White Way. Happiness can be many things. People seek riches, others go after fame. The ideal form of happiness in Buddhism is dana, or selfless giving. Some people call doing things without expecting anything in return or random giving or random services. Maybe the old ladies in Pauela had something in their hearts, and so they were able to say arigatai, arigatai. This is something for us to think about. In Gassho, I leave these thoughts with you. Namo Amida Butsu.